Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture passage for this evening's meditation is recorded in the first epistle of St. Paul to the church at Corinth in the 9th chapter, beginning at the 24th verse. Do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but one receives the crown? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This is the text. In the name of Jesus, amen. I have one purpose on this great evening. It is to impress upon you who are candidates for the pastoral office the uniqueness, the singularness, and the awesomeness of the office for which this seminary has prepared you. Perhaps in your quiet hours with God, you have wondered if you may be so bold as to aspire to be a spiritual leader of the flock of God. I am sure that has weighed heavily on your hearts as you have approached this significant evening. In the past 20 years, I have become a very interested watcher of pastors and an observer of what is becoming of the pastoral office. In these very special moments this evening, I would like to share with you some of the great joys and some of the deep concerns I have about the state of the spiritual leadership in the church in this generation. First, I must say that at times you will find that spiritual leadership is a very frightening role. It will impose on you many occasions for doubt and sometimes even to despair. It should not surprise you that Satan will work overtime to trap you in the complex web of temptation that he weaves in the pathway of spiritual leaders. Of all of the leaders over whom he seeks to gain power, Satan most certainly gives first priority to you. To you as a man of faith, to whom we look for leadership in the church. Just because you are a spiritual leader makes the prize greater if the devil can gain access into your heart, into your life, your thoughts, and the way you live. You remember that even our blessed Lord was not spared the cruel and subtle wiles of the tempter, who tried three times to get him for his own glory to abuse the power that his Father gave him. The devastating might with which Satan assailed him was such that when our Lord had finally overcome, the angels came to minister to him. St. Paul, too, knew the might and the persistence of the evil one. As he so often did, St. Paul in this text uses his own struggle as an example for the church at Corinth, and also an example for you. He is saying here, I've got to stay spiritually fit so I can fight and overcome the devil and all the temptations with which he assaults me every day. Even I, Paul, after all I have been through for the Lord, and even while I am preaching the gospel to others, am not immune from the assaults of the devil. I too could lose my soul to him. So this evening, I would speak to you not so much about what you will say to your congregations or to those to whom you minister, but how you will care for your own spiritual welfare. I cannot really judge to which temptations pastors of the church are most susceptible, but certainly pride is one of them. The thought that somehow, because you are entrusted with a special role in the church, you have a right to presume on Christ and his gospel. St. Paul recognized this possibility, and he told the Christians at Corinth, I take no personal pride in my preaching, for preaching the gospel isn't any special credit to me. I couldn't keep from preaching it if I wanted to. John and James, you remember, the sons of Zebedee, succumbed to the temptation of pride and of special privilege, and coveted preferential places at the side of Jesus, and thus received his stinging rebuke. All of us face that compelling desire to believe that our positions give us special standing and uncommon privilege, until Jesus comes to us, as he did to the envious and quarreling disciples at Capernaum, and says, if any man desires to be first, the same shall be last and servant of all. We suffer from pride that will not let us admit when we are wrong, that won't permit us to be the first to ask for forgiveness when we have quarreled among ourselves, that causes us to posture and put on airs. The very positions we hold and the honor that is paid us too often are occasions to fall into the sin of pride. But secondly, certainly arrogance is right up there with pride among the temptations that cause spiritual leaders to fall. Thinking that the power of the office of the keys is our own personal possession, and that those who are under our authority are something less than we. The sense of power can corrupt a pastor, and the sense of absolute power can corrupt him absolutely. Who should know that better than you? The spiritual heirs of Luther, who so valiantly struggled against the corruption that ecclesiastical arrogance imposed on the body of Christ in his day. It is one of the most agonizing duties of the leaders of the church to watch over the flock of God, and sometimes to use the shepherd's rod when the gentle tugging of the shepherd's crook is of no avail. But to revel in such power is sinful arrogance. To feel superior in the possession of the authority of the office of the keys is pompous. To believe that one is holier because he wears the pastor's stole is pharisaical. Church discipline we must have. Church leaders must make judgments and even mete out punishment. That is part of the loneliness and of the agony of it all. But the authority of the office of the keys that is delegated to you and the authority of the position you hold must be exercised within the context of your recognition of your own sinfulness, that all of your own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It's a matter of great example that when St. Paul was explaining to Timothy all of the sins of those who come under the law, he first rated himself as the chief of sinners. And so it would seem to me that it would be proper, wise, and becoming of you as a pastor that before entering into a time of judgment or discipline of a sinning member of your parish, that you yourself would spend an hour with your Lord looking at your own life and confessing your own sins and unworthiness, lest that by any means, when you have preached to your brother, you yourself should be cast away. I am sure that much sorrow, many injustices, much insensitivity, and some cruelty would be avoided in the church if the process of church discipline were administered by pastors and elders who had just bared their own souls sincere confession. Pompous, affectatious, pretentious, and imperious are adjectives that too often are assigned to pastors who perhaps more than anyone else should be characterized as humble, honest, friendly, sincere, caring, and thoroughly pastoral. The negative adjectives evoke derision on the church and wound the body of Christ. The positive adjectives, on the other hand, bring love and esteem to the ministerium and cause even unbelievers to glorify your Father in heaven. The third temptation concerns more directly your generation, perhaps, than generations of your fathers. It concerns the lifestyles of pastors of the church. The secularization of America is bad enough, but it seems to be leading to a gradual trend toward secularization, or perhaps a better word for it is a laicization of the clergy. The immoral gradualism of the 60s and 70s has led even us to downgrade the expectations of the ministry. Capricious infidelities, unbiblical divorces emanating from parsonages, lifestyles that are no different from those of worldly leaders, greed, untruthfulness, professional ruthlessness, political conniving and manipulation. All are excused because the called men of God are, quote, just human beings like anyone else. There is a misapplication of the priesthood of all believers. The perception that the church is just one big anarchic fellowship is as much a perversion of the sacred calling as pompous arrogance is, on the other hand. Are the expectations for the lifestyle of a called man of God just those of another sinful being? Do you believe that nothing more is going to be expected of you and your style of living? Wouldn't you believe that more is expected of you, to whom so much spiritual trust is given in the call you receive this evening? Will your congregation really not have the right to ask more of you as the shepherd than of the sheep? More of you to whom they entrust that peculiar church power which Christ has given to his church on earth? Has the confessor no greater obligation than the penitent? When our Lord Jesus Christ breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them." Surely, He was commissioning men of faith who would so account of themselves as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. It is an awesome calling to be commanded by Christ Himself to exclude manifest and impenitent sinners from a Christian congregation and to absolve those who repent of their sins and are willing to make amends. If what you do in your calling is as valid and certain in heaven also as if Christ Himself, our dear Lord, dealt with us Himself, then surely you degrade the calling if you live as though nothing more is expected of you than of the world. Perhaps it is an offense of the greatest magnitude. Certainly it is one to which Satan himself would give his maximum support. Because if Satan can corrupt the shepherds, who will watch over the sheep? There are many other sins and temptations with which church leaders are confronted. These three, I think, are sufficient to make the point. And I do not bring them to you because I believe there is a crisis in leadership in the congregation or the district or the synod, or certainly not in this seminary. I have spoken similar words to your brothers at other seminaries. And also, I might say, to the members of the Council of Presidents who share this evening with you. My admonition is to all who hold this office. You must give attention to your own spiritual welfare. You, like Paul, must keep yourself spiritually fit, lest while you are keeping watch over the flock, you yourself should be caught in the thorns. You should not become so preoccupied with pointing out the sins of the members of your congregation that you fail to go before the cross yourself. You need to spend much time speaking to your Heavenly Father in prayer, especially when you're too busy to do it. Prayer is as indispensable to a pastor's spiritual fitness as breathing is to his physical health. It was not because of burnout that our Lord went to the mountain of His transfiguration. He went there because He needed to talk to His Father. He often felt that need, and so will you. And when the apostles went off with their Lord to a quiet place from the crowd, it was not because they felt a great need for recreation or golf or tennis. They needed to commune with their God. And when the world is too much with you, when Satan is doing his worst and you feel overcome by his power, you need to talk to your Heavenly Father. We are all indeed sinners, and you as well. as a leader of the church, you are most vulnerable. The old Adam in you must, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and again a new man daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That's the first need, confession. And you need it every day to pour out to your Father the despair that your sins bring into your own life. You as a pastor too need the assurance of the remission of your sins. Yes, even you as a servant of the cross need to be assured that you are forgiven by your Father in heaven. And it's only then that you can stand before your confessing congregation of believers and proclaim as the representative of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the most important words they will ever hear. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Will the following candidates please rise as their names are called? David Scott Andrus, James Harris in absentia, George David Bloom, George John Berza Jr., Jeffrey Donald Callahan, Timothy Curtis Cartwright, George Ernest Dahm, Charles Rudolph Deckert, Ernest Rodriguez Hoopert, Edward William Knuth, Richard Wilson Leinberger, John Richard Mornes, Richard Roy Rice, Alan Paul Rosenau, Robert Ernest Smith, Timothy Eugene Sowers, Rick Harrison Tinsley, Paul Wayne Zalman. President Menike, I present to you the candidates reserved for placement this summer. Two of them, the first two named, along with one from our sister seminary at St. Catharines, are reserved for lack of a call at this time. The others are reserved both for insufficient calls at this time and for the reason of their needing summer term to finish their Master of Divinity program.
Men of God and brothers in Christ, even though you will not be receiving the call to the place to which the Lord is sending you this evening, anticipating that you will receive that shortly, on behalf of the Council of Presidents and indeed of your church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we want you to know that we look forward to welcoming you to the pastoral family of your synod. We say that with the word of St. Paul, who said of the Philippians that he thanked God for them, that he remembered them in his prayers, thanking God especially for their partnership in the gospel, and also being confident that the Lord who had begun the good work in them would continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's our confidence in you and through you for the church of the Lord our God. We welcome you as God provides calls for you to serve in his vineyard, as we are sure he will. We thank God for you, and we pray God's blessing on your continuing study and service.
On behalf of the seminary, let me say to you, brothers, that the calls will be voted on July 1st. In order that you not be kept waiting, they will be presented to you in a private ceremony on July 2nd, rather than waiting for the next summer school chapel service, which would be a week after that. Mr. President, I now take pleasure in presenting to you the spring of 1985 candidates of Concordia Seminary, to whom you and your colleagues on the Council of Presidents, acting in behalf of calling agencies of the church, have extended calls by vote on Monday morning.
Thank you. My fellow redeemed and fellow servants, called and sent ones of the Lord, it was quite a while ago that Pastor Jeremiah said to the church in promise that the Lord God would continue to send them pastors according to his own heart, who would feed the flock and feed them with wisdom, with knowledge, with understanding. Tonight, we see another fulfillment of that promise of God, as the Lord continues to bless his church through those whom he calls, sends, and empowers. To you especially this evening, again, on behalf of the Council of Presidents, on behalf of your fellow redeemed in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and especially on behalf of the many congregations of this church body who will be looking forward to receiving from you care and feeding at the hand of God, we welcome you. We thank God for you. We thank God for a pious and dedicated faculty which has devoted itself to training you. We thank God for a church body that takes the mission of the church this seriously to prepare you for that ministry. We thank God for you. You are excited this evening. We want you to know that we are too. And there are probably a couple hundred congregations out there that are too, in a special way at this time. And if I dare say, I believe that the angels in heaven are enjoying a special bit of excitement tonight too, and probably even engaging in what Martin Luther once referred to as pious mirth that only the angels can have. We do thank God for you and with you. We pledge to work with you, and we welcome you as our brothers in Christ into that pastoral family of this part of his church on earth, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. God bless you.
In absentia, the colloquy candidates, Wisconsin South District, Marvin Allborn, Emmaus Evangelical Lutheran Church, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Michigan District, Donald Dengler, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Gladwin, Michigan. Indiana District, Marshall Dennis, Shepherd of the City Lutheran Church, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Kansas District, John W. Emsley, Jr., St. Paul Lutheran Church, Topeka, Kansas. Minnesota North District, Darrell Matthews, Lutheran Church of Christ the King, Assistant Halftime and Area Ministry to the Deaf Halftime, Duluth, Minnesota. Southern District, Theodore Martin Richter, Faith Lutheran Church, Greenville, Mississippi. Montana District, Robert Henry Rowan, Jr., Trinity Lutheran Church, Plentywood, Montana. Northwestern District, Ricky Lee Adams, Hope Lutheran Church, Wapato, Washington. Minnesota South District, Paul Joseph Aldrich, St. Matthew Lutheran Church, Associate Pastor, Columbia Heights, Minnesota. Nebraska District, Robert David Alexander, St. John Lutheran Church, Palmer, Nebraska. Alberta, British Columbia District, Nolan Douglas Astley, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Kamloops, British Columbia, Canada. Florida, Georgia District, Mark Allen Bankert, Faith Lutheran Church, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Southern District, Robert John Benke, Good Shepherd and Our Savior Lutheran Churches, Meriden, Mississippi, and Butler, Alabama. Iowa West District, Stephen Mark Benson, Calvary Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Sioux City, Iowa. Northern Illinois District, Brent George Burkesh, St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Algonquin, Illinois. Missouri District, Jonathan Mark Beyer, Trinity Lutheran Church, Clinton, Missouri. Northwest District, Paul David Berner, Anchorage Lutheran Church, Anchorage, Alaska. Missouri District, Mark Allen Betcher, Grace Lutheran Church, Aurora, Missouri. Northern Illinois District, Dennis Arnold Brandt, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Thornton, Illinois. Texas District, David Daniel Brockhoff, Board for Missions, Missionary at Large, Ennis, Texas. Oklahoma District, Edward Victor Bruning Jr., Concordia Lutheran Church, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Mid-South District, Richard David Berkey, Redeemer Lutheran Church, Camden, Arkansas. Oklahoma District, Leonard Emanuel Bush III, First Lutheran Church, Ada, Oklahoma. Northern Illinois District, James Edward Butler, Concordia Lutheran Church, Associate Pastor, Rockford, Illinois. Alberta, British Columbia District, David Allen Carnahan, Emmanuel and Victory in Christ Lutheran Churches, Elk Ford and Sparwood, British Columbia, Canada. Nebraska District, Baron Whitney Cole, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Malcolm, Nebraska. Central Illinois District, Timothy Charles DeSano, Faith Lutheran Church, Flora, Illinois. Minnesota South District, James George Disney III, St. John Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Buffalo, Minnesota. Southern California District, Timothy Paul Dost, Department of Missions, Missionary at Large for Hispanics, Colton, California. Missouri District, William Joseph Paul Dubeck, St. Paul Lutheran Church, St. Louis, Missouri. Michigan District, Stephen John Disher, Resurrection Lutheran Church, Sand Lake, Michigan. Missouri District, Robert Lee Eggers, Jr., Trinity Lutheran Church, Alma, Missouri. Board for Mission Services, John Carl Eggert, Evangelistic Missionary, Papua New Guinea. Florida, Georgia District, Jeffrey James Ehlers, Christ Lutheran Church, East Point, Georgia. Nebraska District, Mark Peter Eichler, Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, Fullerton, Nebraska. Indiana District, Carrie Paul Elam, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Tell City, Indiana, in absentia. Oklahoma District, Keith Daniel Ellerbrock, St. Peter Lutheran Church, Apache, Oklahoma. South Dakota District, Brian Lloyd Fritch, Emmanuel and Christ Lutheran Churches, Gettysburg and Lebanon, South Dakota. Iowa District West, Robert George Gattican, Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church, Storm Lake, Iowa. SELC District, Stephen Earl Galke, St. John Lutheran Church, Hazleton, Pennsylvania. North Dakota District, John Roger Gimbel, Zion Lutheran Church, Kramer, and Zion Lutheran Church, Gardena, North Dakota. Wyoming District, Randall Lee Golter, Trinity Lutheran Church, Wheatland, Wyoming. Board for Mission Services, Paul Gevin Gossman, Evangelistic Missionary, the Philippines. Missouri District, Kirk Edward Griebel, Zion Lutheran Church, Rockville, Missouri. Southern Illinois District, Terrence Roger Groth, Trinity Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Edwardsville, Illinois. Rocky Mountain District, Mark William Halverson, Good Shepherd and Water of Life Lutheran Churches, Richfield and Delta, Utah. Southern District, David Dwayne Hansen, Concordia Lutheran Church, New Orleans, Louisiana. Texas District, Michael Stephen Harding, Faith Lutheran Church, Andrews, Texas. Northern Illinois District, Herman Ray Hawkins, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, Broadview, Illinois. Nebraska District, John Mark Heckman, St. John Lutheran Church, Crete, Nebraska. SELC District, Philip John Hillenbrand, St. Paul Lutheran Church Assistant Pastor, Westport, Connecticut. Nebraska District, Bradley David Hayes, King of Kings Lutheran Church, Omaha, Nebraska. Nebraska District, Joel Frank Hoyer, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Eagle, Nebraska. North Dakota District, Stephen Paul Jurgensen, St. Paul and St. Paul Lutheran Churches, Monango and Culm, North Dakota. Iowa East District, Thomas C. Call, Grace Lutheran Church, Fayette, Iowa. Nebraska District, Harvey Fred Kelm, Jr., Zion Lutheran Church, Red Cloud, Nebraska. Missouri District, James Dwayne Kirk, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, DePere, Missouri. Michigan District, Paul Richard Kane, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Lapeer, Michigan. Mid-South District, Peter Lewis Kolb, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, Seymour, Tennessee. Texas District, Lee Ross Kunkel, Faith Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Grand Prairie, Texas. Michigan District, Joel David Leyenbauer, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Hillsdale, Michigan. Iowa District West, Stephen John Leinhos, Faith Lutheran Church, Adel, Iowa. Eastern District, Andrew Charles Lissy, Hope Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Levittown, Pennsylvania. Missouri District, Dennis Franklin Lucero, Hope Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, St. Louis, Missouri. Rocky Mountain District, Timothy James Ludwig, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Rifle, Colorado. Indiana District, William Benjamin Mann V, Mission Board, Missionary at Large for New Salisbury, Indiana. Missouri District, William R. Marler, Lutheran Association for Higher Education for Lutheran High School South, St. Louis, Missouri. Michigan District, Timothy James McNutt, St. Michael Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Richville, Michigan. Southern Illinois District, Terry Allen McReynolds, Trinity Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Centralia, Illinois. Kansas District, James Lambert Mayo, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Kansas. Minnesota South District, Warren Edward Miller, St. John and Trinity Lutheran Churches, Vernon Center and Louisville, Minnesota. Missouri District, Richard Allen Moore, Emmanuel Lutheran Chapel, St. Louis, Missouri. South Wisconsin District, Paul Robert Nauman, Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Rocky Mountain District, Chris Van Nilges, Ascension and Trinity Lutheran Churches, Meeker and Rangeley, Colorado. Central Illinois District, Keith Ronald Pereira, Christ Lutheran Church, Waverly, Illinois. South Dakota District, Alan Lee Wayne Pingle, Redeemer, Christ, and Zion Lutheran Churches, Clearfield, Winner, and Hamel, South Dakota. Florida, Georgia District, Dean Thomas Pingle, Redeemer Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Stewart, Florida. Iowa District East, Joseph Michael Polsine, Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Davenport, Iowa. Indiana District, Greg Stephen Ramirez, Redeemer and Holy Cross Lutheran Churches, Lake Station and Portage, Indiana, in absentia. Wyoming District, Lawrence Craig Richmond, Board of Directors of the Wyoming District for Missionary at Large at the Wind River Indian Reservation, Fort Washakie, Wyoming, in absentia. Nebraska District, Daniel Robert Ritter, St. Paul and St. Paul Lutheran Churches, Shelton and Lowell, Nebraska. Southern District, Peace Lutheran Church and Campus Ministry at the University of Mississippi, Oxford, and Zion Lutheran Church, Holly Springs, Mississippi. South Dakota District, Timothy John Reinerson, St. John and Concordia Lutheran Churches, Woolsey and Wessington, South Dakota. South Dakota District, Scott Calvin Seiler, St. John Lutheran Church, Howard, South Dakota. Florida, Georgia District, District Mission Board, Missionary at Large for Ocala, Florida, Stephen Blair Schaefer. Atlantic District, Jeffrey Lawrence Scheich, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Fishkill, New York. Northern Illinois District, Jeffrey Brent Schroeder, St. Paulatin Church, Woodworth, Illinois. English District, Mark Albert Schutte, Lutheran Church of the Shepherd King, West Bloomfield, Michigan. North Wisconsin District, Randy Paul Schultz, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Merrill, Wisconsin. Southern District, Stephen Otto Schumacher, Trinity Lutheran Church, Sulphur, Louisiana. Board for Mission Services, William Wallace Schumacher, Evangelistic Missionary, Botswana. Kansas District, Lee Dwayne Seaton, Grace Lutheran Church, Lyons, Kansas. Southern Illinois District, Lester Tyke Seto, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church Associate Pastor, Collinsville, Illinois. Northern Illinois District, David Lee Simonson, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Moments, Illinois. Southern District, Frederick Victor Smith, Trinity Lutheran Church, Dothan, Alabama. Nebraska District, Jonathan Michael Smith, Grace Lutheran Church, Franklin, Nebraska. Michigan District, Mark David Spitz, Trinity Lutheran Church, Berkeley, Michigan. Board for Mission Services, Dale Allen Talsma, Evangelistic Missionary, Nigeria. Board for Mission Services, John Micken Trudy, Evangelistic Missionary, Venezuela. Atlantic District, Lawrence Richard Vossler, Jr., St. Matthew Lutheran Church for the Deaf, Elmhurst, and St. Mark Lutheran Church for the Deaf, New York City, New York. Montana District, Michael Glenn Warmbier, Our Redeemer, and St. Peter Lutheran Churches, Columbia Falls and Whitefish, Montana. Ohio District, Carl William Weiss, St. Peter and St. Paul Lutheran Churches, Napoleon, Ohio. Mid-South District, Merlin Roy Wellhausen, Department of Missions, Missionary at Large for Emmanuel and St. John Lutheran Churches, Monticello and Crossett, Arkansas. South Dakota District, Kenneth Ray Wieseman, Mount Calvary Lutheran Church Assistant Pastor, Huron, South Dakota. Iowa West District, John Allen Westhafer, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Oakland, Iowa. New England District, Timothy Raymond Yaden, St. Paul Evangelical Lutheran Church, New Hartford, Connecticut. Wyoming District, Bruce Robert Zagel, Grace Lutheran Church, Grable, Wyoming.